Hello, I'm Damon Sheffer, and this is the Decapod, the podcast of the Danforth East Community Association. Well, it's getting down to crunch time for the Deca Gems contest. For the last few weeks, you've been busy nominating local businesses you think are deserving of the Deca Gems prize pack. That includes some professional photography, website help, some sprucing up of the businesses, and so on. Now, the final four will be announced on Friday, May 8th. On this episode of the Decapod, we talked to two of the nominees. They hope to be in that final four. First, we talked to Briar Monroe. She's the owner of Fly Girl Fitness. This is a business that's getting plenty of love from you guys out there. Briar's family has deep roots in the hood. And Briar's personal story is very inspiring. I spent some time with her at her studio. That's coming up in just a few minutes. As well, Oak Park Deli, also a local favorite run by a family, which has deep roots in the hood as well. Emily Anastasiadis and I spoke to Tula Nikolopoulos. She's the owner of the deli, about her family, her life, and what she'd do with the prize pack. Just a note, Emily is going to be helping out with the podcast, so you'll be hearing a lot more from her in the coming episodes. First off, though, here's our feature on Fly Girl Fitness.
Take a moment to come back to center, and we will switch legs. We'll lean straight first, bottom leg reaching.
My name is Tiffany.
And how long have you been coming to Fly Girl Fitness?
5 years.
And what brought you here in the first place?
A friend of mine had taken classes here, and she recommended it as being something different from your gym membership. So I tried it out and instantly loved the way that Briar builds a workout, and that we do something different every single time we come. So it's always challenging, and you don't fall into any, you know, boring patterns or anything like that. It's always something new.
And you can slowly release. Now let's take a moment to come up to sitting, please. We're going to do our glute stretch up here.
About 2.5 years ago, Briar asked me to consider being a teacher at Fly Girl, so I went and got my personal training certification. And so I've been teaching about 2 years, and I love it. It's a great job. She's a great boss, and I get to, you know, see people get fit and work out and make their lives a little bit better. So
you've seen some big changes, not only in your life, but others as well.
Absolutely. That wall over there is all people who are clients of the month, and you can see sometimes some before and after pictures, and it's not always about that. It's about, you know, their hearts get stronger, they're able to, like, play with their kids longer and things like that. So it's pretty inspiring.
Alright, so this is our space. So we do all of our group training, yoga, Pilates, all of our classes in here. Our floors are made out of recycled running shoes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So it helps a little bit with absorption for our joints when we're doing weight-bearing activity.
Very nice space, like lots of natural light.
The amount of light is fantastic, especially in the afternoons and evenings. Like, it just, we get flooded.
Now, so let's talk about your career and about Fly Girl Fitness. How long have you been here?
We are in our 9th year of business.
Okay.
At this location, we have just passed our 1 year anniversary.
Okay.
So we have just moved into this space a year ago. Going back career-wise, I graduated from college in fitness and lifestyle management, and I worked at a number of commercial gyms for a number of years and some smaller private facilities. And I really noticed that there was a need for space where specifically women felt comfortable to work out, where they weren't going to be intimidated and where everybody was accepted for who they are and could work at their own pace.
So can you talk a bit about some of the less ideal situations you've seen if you've worked in gyms and so on, and ideas where people have felt intimidated and why, you know, some people may not want to go to a gym for that reason.
Well, I find specifically the large commercial gyms are quite intimidating for women specifically because, one, they're usually filled with huge sort of weight machines that look really complicated, and we haven't been taught properly how to use them. And often, you know, there's people known as, like, gym rats, you know, who are sort of bouncing weights around, and there's loud banging and whatnot, and it's
groaning,
just
lots of groaning.
So it's just a little intimidating walking into that type of situation. And I find that women specifically really need the guidance and emotional support when they're starting something new, like a fitness routine.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of women, especially in this neighborhood, sometimes this is their first experience ever going into any sort of gym facility. I've had three people in the last week who have told me they've never been to any sort of exercise class, sport, or gym ever in their life. This is a brand new experience for them. So, you know, rightly so, they're a little intimidated by it.
When you were young, you were diagnosed with a condition called
Perthes disease.
So what is that, and how did it affect you?
Yeah. So leg calf Perthes disease is a degeneration of the bones of my hip. So basically, from a young age, the bones that surround my hip joint or create my hip joint or have actually been degenerating. How that affects me basically is on a day-to-day basis, I'm often in a lot of pain just from the degeneration because my hip joint works differently than how a normal one would. It glides smoothly. And it affects the leg length. So one leg is much longer than the other as well because it didn't grow at the same rate because of the degeneration. So they found it when I was 12, and I was an athlete at the time, martial artist and dancer. And they explained that I was going to have surgery, and they suggested that I didn't walk, that I should be in a wheelchair.
Forever.
Until this first surgery. They were sort of saying, you know, you really shouldn't be walking on it. Well, in my opinion, when I was 12, and my parents' opinion, that seemed like pretty extreme mm-hmm. measures. I was still functioning daily. So thank goodness my parents weren't in the mindset that everything doctors say is correct, right? So they used their own judgment. And between the time I was diagnosed and the time of my first surgery, I actually achieved my black belt in Taekwondo. So
wow,
if we had listened to the doctors, right, it would have been a whole different situation.
How is that affecting you today? I mean, I just saw you running a class. You said it causes pain. How does that affect you now, and how do you get through that?
Yeah. So I've had three surgeries since I was diagnosed, each one progressively helping along the way. So on a day-to-day basis, I have to be very careful of how much weight-bearing activity I do, how much jumping around and whatnot. All of my exercise has actually really helped it. Keep the strength around the joint, keep the mobility of the joint nice and loose. So I'm stretching and foam rolling all day long, basically, to help me manage my pain levels. And I'm a strong believer that what we are given in our life makes us who we are, but it shouldn't stop us from doing the things we want to do. For me, having this degeneration in my hip has actually led me into my career. It helps me understand my clients better, where they're coming from, how they're getting through their daily injuries and pain levels. So it helps me sympathize better, and it helps me be a better trainer in being able to modify things for them. So
I understand, but 90% of your clientele is women.
That's
many
correct.
Of them haven't done much physical activity at all in their lives. Some of them have recently had babies, and obviously that can be very hard to exercise.
Yes.
When you're pregnant. So what's your approach to someone who, say, hasn't been exercising for a while? They just want to lose weight, get fit. How do you start with someone like that?
Yeah, so we start every single client with what we call a success session. So they meet with me privately, one-on-one, and we go through their medical history, what their goals are, and what stage they're at. And then I can sort of guide them into the program that we feel is most appropriate for them to start with. Starting slowly is definitely the way to go. You know, oftentimes when we feel like we're ready, we like to just jump right into something and go gung-ho. But that's not necessarily the most ideal thing for our bodies. So starting slowly and gradually and building ourselves up is important. One of the things that we do in our group training classes is that every single exercise we give our clients, we give them three variations. So they are then also in control of what level they're choosing and how hard they're working. So they're never going to be pushed to do something they're uncomfortable with. We really encourage people to listen to their own bodies and make adjustments when needed. And that way we can work with them slowly. Whether they're coming in from a past injury or if they're just coming in postpartum or if this is their first time, then we can sort of work with people of all different levels within the same class because of the variations that are available to everybody.
Well, let's talk about the community. What are your roots in the Danforth area?
Yeah, my family moved into this neighborhood when I was 1 year old. Into Coxville and Girard, actually, in Instead Co-op. and then we moved to Greenwood, Gerard, and we moved back up here to Coxville and Danforth when I was 19. And my parents still live in the community. My mother owns Pegasus Studios.
Okay.
And so I grew up in this neighborhood, and it's been incredible actually watching the transformation, especially since DECA has stepped up, to really see the transformation of being a really more close-knit neighborhood where we really truly can live and shop locally now, yeah, as opposed to having to drive to different parts of the city.
Yeah,
so
that's huge.
It is huge. Yeah. And I've noticed that the community and the neighbors have really gotten to know each other better, especially things like with the market going on and all the events that DECA hosts in the park. You know, we really just get a chance to get to know each other a lot more than we ever have in the past.
So you're one of the nominees for the DECA Gems contest. And the final four are announced on Friday. If you were to win the DECA Gems contest, what would you do with that prize pack? What are your priorities for your business?
Signs for the business would be priority number one.
Well, just for people who aren't aware, you're on the second floor. You're above Relish.
That's correct.
So there's always that challenge of getting sort of the street traffic up into your business.
That is correct, yeah. So signs would definitely be huge for us. The professional photography would be amazing as well, because we're in a new location. We actually haven't done any real photography since moving into this new studio, into the location, so that would be huge for us. And I think, you know, the overhaul of the website, you know, that's always an ongoing thing, an ongoing challenge for businesses, I feel, because as the times change and that social media aspect changes, we need to constantly be adapting. So we could definitely use some help on that end as well.
You mentioned the website. Did you want to give the name of your website?
Yeah, it's www.flygirlfitness.com.
And do you guys on social media or Facebook at all?
Yeah, we're on Facebook as well.
Well, you heard the woman. Get on to Facebook and like Fly Girl Fitness there. Big thanks to Briar for taking some time out of her busy day to share her story with us. Hope you liked it. Coming up, our talk with Tula from Oak Park Deli. But first, I've been asked to tell you guys a little bit about me. So if you are curious about me, here's the bio. If you want to just skip ahead a few seconds, you can get right to Tula. You don't need to listen to me blather on. But if you do want to hear it, my name is Damon. My family and I have been in the hood for about 4 years. My wife and I have two boys who keep us in a permanent state of exhaustion. I make my living as a traffic reporter on the radio. Now, that's that thing in your car most of you probably plug your MP3 players into. You can hear me if you do turn on the radio, if you can figure out how to do it. That is on CFRB 1010 AM. I'm on there many evenings and most weekends. And while I can't always get you around a traffic jam, I can at least tell you why you're stuck in traffic, and hopefully that will be some consolation for you. My wife and I, we really love the hood. Danforth East has been great the last 4 years. We love being so close to so many parks, the schools, the subways right there. Places to get great coffee and mooch some free Wi-Fi. That's always great as well. Now we just need one of you guys to go out there and open up a cheese shop, and possibly a cheese shop that sells wine. And then I think we'll pretty much retire here. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get on to our interview with Tula of Oak Park Deli.
What's the specialty of Oak Park Cafe? What's the most popular food here?
Our cheesy bread, which we make sandwiches on. And funny enough, we do some catering for the film industry. And there's one fellow in particular who gets his staff, I guess you would call it, the people that work for him anyway, to drive all the way from the airport to pick up a sandwich for him. And the lasagna, everybody likes the lasagna. Because we make everything here. You have to call ahead, and it takes about half an hour, 40 minutes, depending on how busy we are.
I just think you're a great nominee because you're such a great example of a community business. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. When I first came back from Greece, because I was living there for a while, the restaurant was closed for a while. Dad had it, but because of the English barrier, it was a downfall. And he wanted to keep this so that he kept the family together. So when I came back from Greece, I was having a baby. And Dad said, do you want to give it a try? And I said, okay, the school kids would be a good clientele, and I can give it a try. And then I had a lot of negative, don't do it, too, it's going to be a waste of your time. But so far it's been successful. It's 8 years. My daughter's turned eight, so I'm going on my ninth year.
Besides yourself, who else in your family is still involved in the business?
Well, Mom is here, and that's how everybody knows her, as Mom. And My sister does the desserts. She works on the weekend. And Dad does the deliveries, but Dad's leaving to go to Greece because there's a wedding happening and he can't miss out.
So it's the afternoon now, and I just saw several groups of, I don't know if they're preteens, I guess they're D.A. Morrison students come through here. How many kids do you think you feed in a day?
In a day, there's roughly around maybe 100. The other day, a couple of kids came by, and they were 11, 12 when I met them, and now they're in secondary university. Some have already finished, and they come by to say hello, which is very nice. It means I've done a good job if they come by to say hello.
What sort of changes have you seen in the neighborhood in the last 8 years? Well, I guess even longer. You've been here for so long.
Well, in the 90s, this neighborhood had a downfall, a really bad downfall. I don't think it was that safe to live in this neighborhood. But I think the change happened in 2004. A lot of young professionals have moved and bought into the neighborhood, and things are cleaning up. The house across the street used to be dirty and full of drugs and all sorts of things. And the guy who took over was a hero because he tore it down and he rebuilt it. And so the corners have cleaned up. The children have changed, though. They're not the same as they used to be. Yeah. Children have to be mischievous. When they're too calm, or they're like, they don't pay attention anymore, and it's not good. Kids have to get into trouble. It's part of growing up, and these ones don't. That's the one thing that I've noticed, and I don't like that.
Too many well-behaved children.
No, I don't know if it's so much called well-behaved. I think it's a lot of it has to do with the electronic gadgets.
Yeah.
That they don't know how to socialize, and they don't know how to do things.
It's not just kids, it's adults too.
Yes, but I noticed, because I don't see many adults and I see children, that's where my attention is on that. You don't bond like you do, like I did with the other kids. Arthur used to go out and have snowball fights with them. But these are the things that kids remember.
Yeah.
If you were to win the Decker Champs contest, is there anything you'd like to do?
The deli needs a couple of renovations, which I've been getting some quotes on new equipment to fix, because they're a little bit outdated.
I believe part of the prize package is a website. Do you already have a website?
I do. It's a very simple website. I'm looking to get it to do online ordering. And eventually we want to get into delivery. But I have to organize the deli. Because right now my focus is so much on the catering that I've let the walk-in aspect slide. And I need to get it back in control again.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Well, that's it. That is the end of this particular episode of the Decapod. Big thanks to Sue Dack. She edited much of this episode, the interviews in particular. She worked very hard on those, but she should have been working on her real job. So big thanks to Sue there. Also thanks to Emily, who, as I said, will be a little more involved in the podcast as we hurtle forward with this. Expect to hear more from her in the coming weeks and months. Remember, Final Four of the Deca Gems contest announced on Friday. If you want to get in contact with Deca, if you want to follow what's going on, DecaDiaries@wordpress.com, DanforthEastCommunityAssociation.com, that is the full website, plenty of links there. On Twitter, @DecaDiaries, that's @DecaDiaries if you want to follow Deca on Twitter. And if you're on Facebook, like Deca, that is the Danforth East Community Association. Until next time, take care.